Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
A lot of parents, when facing issues with their teenagers, are inclined to require them to see a therapist, and this may accomplish nothing. We'll talk about this and more on this week's podcast, You Can't Solve a Problem That You Don't Understand. It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and I'm your host, Neil D. Brown, and I'm here to help you get the enjoyable family you work for every day. And if you have a question you'd like me to address on this podcast, don't be shy. We'll all benefit from your question. So come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and enter it there today. And while you're there, download a free copy of my Parental Burnout Recovery Guide. And please remember, this is an educational podcast, not a substitute for therapy when you need it. Before we address today's question, I'd like to share that the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry just reported a vigorous study that demonstrates that adolescent and young adult abstinence from cannabis use is associated with significantly improved learning. So yes, marijuana use impairs learning, and abstinence from use improves learning. So when your teen or your young adult tells you, I just use it to relax, it doesn't hurt me, you can tell them it interferes with learning and memory, and that their idea that it doesn't affect them is just a rationalization. Well, today we're hearing from Mandy, and Mandy writes, our 17-year-old son fights depression, social anxiety, and anxiety in general. He doesn't eat or sleep right. His only friends are really his older brother's friends. Due to the age gap, they aren't going to call him to hang out. 2 years ago, he had a bad experience with the few friends he did have. They all turned on him and gathered the rest of the kids and told tales about him to get everyone mad at him. It was all over a girl. Go figure. We tried to encourage him that as horrible as it feels, time does heal. We talked at lengths trying to help. Since then, he doesn't have any real friends, no one he hangs out with. He loves video games and just has given up on friends. He plays video games in his bedroom or watches movies, rarely comes out. We are a small contracting business, so my husband has been able to employ him for the summer. He seems to like that. It gets him out meeting people. We have him in counseling. He's only gone 3 times and hates going. He will go, but hates it. He doesn't eat on the days he goes, but he says he's not hungry, but it's obvious he's angry with us for making him go. Are we doing the right thing? He's such a great young man, so kind and sweet. He has just given up in some areas of life, and it scares me, thus therapy. Well, thanks for your question, Mandy. Well, what happened to your son socially a couple of years ago is very upsetting and very sad. Your son has some differences that make him an easy target, and it's a damn shame that the school climate wasn't safer for him. But Mandy, here's the thing. Yes, looking for a therapeutic solution is a step in the right direction, but sending him off to individual therapy to talk with a therapist is not going to get it. If we don't understand the problem and he isn't invested in the solution, once a week, individual therapy is not going to accomplish anything. Here is what we know. Your son at 17 has very poor social skills and related to that, social anxiety, depression, and spends most of his time playing video games and watching movies. He doesn't have a social life. I'm assuming that he does go to school, but he doesn't make friends. When he works for his father, he does pretty well, and it sounds like he interacts with people, so clients and anyone else he comes in contact with, he engages appropriately and he enjoys it. When his brother's friends are around, he engages and enjoys that as well. On days when he goes to counseling, He doesn't eat, and you see that as a form of protest that he is required to go to therapy. And if that's what's going on, that's a pretty primitive and passive form of protest, a kind of passive-aggressive behavior. And yet, he is sweet and kind. So we also have to realize right now that you, Mandy, and his dad are scratching your heads and feeling pretty powerless and maybe even burned out. Any suggestions you have for your son, even any requirements that you make, are going to be met with resistance. So, Mandy, what can you do? Well, we need to start by finding out what's going on, what is interfering with his social emotional development. Anxiety and depression are symptoms. What's causing it? If we don't understand the problem, we won't know how to find a solution. So before he starts individual therapy, we need a psychological evaluation. Sounds to me very much like your son could be on the autism spectrum. This is just speculation, and it could be something entirely different. But suppose this is the case, or some other individual difference is identified as underlying your son's lack of growth and development. What then? Sending him off to individual therapy still won't get the job done. So here is the best way forward. Get a complete psychological assessment for your son. Find the best psychologist in your area for doing complete adolescent assessments. This person is going to want to meet with parents alone, as well as with your son alone, most likely more than once. They will do some testing, and the testing should be fairly extensive so that parents and son all get a comprehensive understanding of your son's strengths and challenges and his specific needs. Once the testing is complete, the next thing is for that information to be shared in a way that will be informing and helpful to you as parents and informing and helpful to your son. It should identify your son's strengths and areas to work on. It should help you know where to set limits and maybe even how to set limits. The assessment should be able to tell you how to best support your son's growth and development. Wouldn't that be nice? Now, the psychologist may want to have a feedback session with you and his dad without your son, and maybe one with your son and you present. There must be a joint feedback session so that everyone has the same understanding of issues and solutions. And if the psychologist is not going to be the therapist, which is common but not always, it would be ideal for the therapist who is going to do the therapy to be at the family feedback session as well. At the very least, that person should be in touch with the testing psychologist and have a copy of the report. Mandy, next, you would want to follow up with the therapist to make specific plans and ways to implement the plans. What's the parent's job? What belongs to your son? And what belongs to the therapist? Will the parents have the same therapist or a different one from their son? Different therapists work differently, so there isn't a right or wrong here. Whatever works best for the therapist and for the family, but there should be some family sessions with parents and son together. I guarantee you the plan won't include your son holding up in his room playing endless video games and movie watching. That's an avoidance of growth and development. There needs to be a sleep plan, eating plan, social skill development plan, and a post-high school plan. And as parents, you're going to need to learn to set limits effectively. And that means staying positive, clear, and have privileges contingent on your son managing his responsibilities. All this can be laid out early in the therapy, but clarifying and implementing plans will be, of course, a gradual process. That's what therapy is. So listeners, therapy is great, and I'm proud to be a therapist, but just sending a youth off to therapy without an understanding of the issues and a parental mandate and a parental support for addressing issues will not be productive. So let's all challenge ourselves to make sure when we are concerned about our children, teenagers, and young adults and their behaviors, that we understand what is going on and own part of the solution. With those elements in place, therapy will be a tremendous value in helping parents and kids grow and develop in healthy ways. Hey, thanks for tuning in today, listeners, and special thanks to you, Mandy, for your question. Now, I see that many copies of my book, Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle, have recently been purchased on Amazon in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm guessing that a school or some organization thought it would be a good read for many of their parents. So, Louisville folks, if you listen to this podcast, contact me, and I'll happily set up a time to meet remotely with your group and answer any questions you have about the book or applying the concepts in your families. In fact, I'd be happy to do that with any group that wants to use my book to support their goals. But for now, please remember, take care of yourselves. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.